cherry vanilla groove, Fruitopia, also very fine beverage. Hook us up with some free drinks with that. Let's see. Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper, also a very good beverage.
Lifetime supply of Reese's Pieces would be a very good thing.
That would also be very nice. Let's go with some essentials. Charmin.
Wait, they're back in the building.
All right, your IWA commercial break has now ended. Right before I got out the endorsement for a Charmin bath tissue.
Mate, he's smacked up or something, right? What do they say? What do they do in Train Spotting? What drug is that?
That's heroin.
Yeah, I think Will Ospreay is doing heroin.
Guy. That'd be fucking kind of tight, though.
He's got the suppository. He's climbing into the toilet. Ospreay, as he
Will
climbs
Ospreay
into the toilet.
Will Ospreay is talking pure jankum.
He sure is. Welcome to Wrestling is Gross.
Wrestling is Gross. See, that was a great start. You know, you want to work to it. You want to fucking... yes, and your way to a good opening. And I think Will Ospreay Huff's pure jankum is pretty good.
Yeah, that was the Tiger Driver 91. But we were just exchanging arm ringers and headlocks for a minute. And then we got to the high spot. My name is Bucky.
My name is Siobhan.
This is the other half of the birthday duology every year.
Yeah,
every
the
March.
Dyad.
Yeah, the dyad, yes. From Rise of the Skywalker, of course. that's us. Mm-hmm. The thing is, every March, if you listen to this show, you're gonna get two really indulgent episodes out of us in a row. So there you go.
You know, and hey, you're here for the ride. So
we have good taste. That's why we have a podcast. That was the whole reason. We've been called tastemakers. You see, you know, that Four Pillars guy, Ethan. What is that? I don't know what his name is.
Cheese, yeah.
Is that him? He said that we were tastemakers.
I believe we're tastemakers.
That's what he told me, and I never been called that. That was really nice.
Yeah, hell yeah. You know, I mean, we helped popularize 20 Minutes in Hell, Ring the Fuck a Bell, Yard Call.
We did not popularize that. That didn't happen. Yard Call is a joke for 35 people, but 20 Minutes in Hell, I don't think people know that one anymore.
They should know these matches.
I think we tried, and we did good enough, and we had Big Beef on, and you know he's never worked another death match. It's so funny.
Yeah,
he just didn't want to do it. Yes, Ethan Mac and Cheese, that's his name. Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm not thinking of some other guy. Sometimes I'll drop a name of a person. Oh, Roderick. Roderick from NZ, or
yeah,
you know this guy. That's the guy. I was trying to think of the guy who posted the IWA Mid South stuff last week. So, shouts out to that guy also.
I was thinking about Richard McBeef. He's a big fan of ours.
Sure. Now, is he friends with Mayor McCheese?
No. That's just Cho Shang Wei, the Virginia Tech shooter.
Oh, okay.
He had his screenplay. Or
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I did not. Okay. So happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Happy birthday to you, because yours, as we are recording, is actually closer
it's
to
actually
the
closer.
Fucking thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right though. And happy birthday to the listener, of course, if it's your birthday.
Yeah.
If you celebrate, I like to say, you know.
Happy birthday to The Undertaker. I'm sure he's listening.
Oh my god, they sent home a fucking thing for an Easter party, after school Easter party for my kid's school, and it's like child evangelical society or something. I'm at least gonna send a very strongly worded email about this.
Huh.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked.
Your kids go to a public school,
oh,
right?
Oh yeah, very public. And
yeah,
with a number of Muslim students. We are in the most, we're in the, you know, the part of town that has the most Muslim people were by the Muslim Cultural Center is like down
speaking
the road.
Speaking of which,
fucking crazy, man.
Speaking of which, Eid Ramadan, it already happened.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah, let's shouts out to that, and you know, free Palestine, so on and so forth. This feels like this has been going on for way too long. Isn't that funny?
Oh, it has.
Isn't it funny?
For lack of a better way to say it, it's been going on for too damn long. And, it's not that I'm sick of it in the sense of I don't want to hear about it. I just like for it to end.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And not because there are no more Palestinians.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that seems to be the goal there.
It's like a plan. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really believe it when my wife was like, this is what they're going to do. And I was like, they can't do that. And then here we are, and she was fucking right. So
usually isn't this protracted, but hey, you never know.
And now they're going to ban our TikTok because of it, and I'm not going to be able to make videos of, you know, Darby jumping off the ladder set to the Berserk music.
Yeah, I was like talking to someone at my job, and like someone like the front desk person who I think is an idiot, and she was like, you know, they just don't, you know, it's like TikTok, like, I mean, they won't let America onto their servers. And I'm like, yeah, why should they, man?
Yeah.
Would America let the Chinese government onto Facebook servers or whatever? You're just, firstly, you're just making up words. You're just Trump saying routers. You gotta get these routers.
It's a bummer. I don't think it's good. I think censorship is bad, personally. Unless it's
stealing our data. Who gives a shit? China, that's right. China's fine.
Censorship is only okay if it's Ric Flair holding the NWA world title on 1991 WWF television. That's the only time I like censorship. Or Mae Young's breasts in Rumble 2000. I don't know. Trying to think of when it's been done good. So
censorship is for comedy's sake.
Yes, yes. Bleeping on Reno 911 is so essential to it being funny, for instance. I talked about this with the Venture Brothers. I do not need to see Rusty Venture's little penis. I just don't. I didn't, and I wish I hadn't. Happy birthday. And we're going to start.
Happy birthday, Rusty Venture.
Happy birthday, Rusty Venture. Spanakopita.
Spanakopita. I have a t-shirt that says Spanakopita. I had made. It made sense if in the context of decisions. I don't know.
Good show.
It was a comfortable shirt.
Good show.
I don't
comfortable
know what
shirt.
The fuck it is now.
All right. So we're going to get started with Gaia, right?
Yeah.
And I'm saying that right?
Gaia, yeah.
Because it's like Earth.
Yeah.
Okay. You go ahead.
Mother Earth.
Mother Earth, okay.
From Corkin Hall, February 13th, for the fucking AAAW Championship, we have defending the belt, Aja Kong versus Hardcore Queen, Kaoru.
So, Kaoru...
We're going to pronounce it many
ways.
Oh,
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, Kaoru is like Evangelion, but it's a male character, so I don't know. Although I guess maybe, I don't know if the gender's actually fully, because it's an alien or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know if Kaoru is a boy, per se. Although the gays will be mad at me for that.
Yeah.
So Kaoru, I don't know her. I don't know her. Mariah Carey meme. Can you tell me a little bit about this is from 2000. You said February 13th, but I don't think you said the year. 2000.
I thought I said 2000. Okay, yeah. But February 13th, 2000. So, Kaoru kind of doesn't come into her own until Gaia. And holy shit, I sound bad.
You sound great. We're going to ease into it. We're working hammerlocks right now.
Like, she's been wrestling for over a decade, obviously, because they all started when they were, like, 16 in Japan Women's. So she came from All Japan Women's. She was in, like, mid-card tag teams and stuff. And just, I don't know, just wasn't. Just like her style wasn't getting up to the top. In a way, she's similar to Manami Toyota, but like you already got the one Manami Toyota, so it's like
not quite as athletic, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah. This seems tough. Like looking at this, like thinking about this, and thinking about All Japan Women in the early mid '90s. Just the competition.
Oh yeah, like. It took Arcyon for America Yoshida to be recognized as, like, one of the best in the business.
Right, right.
Like what? Like, she was just, like, wrestler's wrestler before.
Yeah, she was
D. Malenko. That's a fake thing. Yeah, that's a fake thing.
Yeah, 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 of course.
Nobody wants to be a wrestler's wrestler. That's, like, you know who's a wrestler's wrestler? Randy Orton. But nobody gives a shit about that because he's been main evented, like, four WrestleManias.
Yeah, no, that's a weird designation. No, this... type of person who can be a star in a different setting, you know?
Yeah.
We've seen it plenty of times.
And she got put into a team, D-Fix, with Ozaki. Jesus, I'm very.
We're going to do it. Ozaki. All right.
Ozaki.
we haven't talked about her in so long. I don't know.
Well, that is an episode I am planning, but yeah. I just got to get the fucking – I got to get ducks in a row.
Sure.
No pun intended.
She made my my Chris 100 or my snoring elbow 50 or whatever.
Hell yeah.
So she's what? The original hardcore queen. So
yeah, basically she's just like going out and doing Sabu shit, throwing herself through tables, doing crazy dives, getting fucked up, bleeding, being a fucking menace.
Cool. In the mid card. Or is she like...
Well, like once Gaia comes to the forefront, it's like, oh yeah, we're just going to do whatever. So, you know, let's fucking rip. And she's with Gaia from the beginning. Like it was a smooth transition. And then she slowly rises up to the top of the card.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, and she was in the WCW Women's Champion Tournament. Of course. I don't. That's so funny. In Wheeling, West Virginia, she wrestled Sonoko Kato in the quarterfinals.
Was that the Women's Heavyweight Championship or the Women's Cruiserweight Championship?
This is the Women's Heavyweight Championship.
Ah, okay.
And it looks like she was beaten by Akira Hokuto in the semis.
And then the final. Then you have the Women's Cruiserweight Championship, but I believe the final in the U.S. was...
It's the one that we covered.
Toshi Uematsu versus Mako Satomura.
Okay, God, crazy.
And they were also like wrestling in like Dothan, Alabama, and shit.
Yeah, that's so funny. I love that. That's an old good TikTok I had. It's the eight woman tag from Survivor Series '94 or whatever '95. Wow,
'95.
And it's just looking at the guys in the crowd with their mouths agape and just like not popping but transfixed, like fully.
Yeah.
All the way in. Women's, it's gonna be like the cruiserweight division, Tony said. Sasha, Mercedes Moné, CEO. I hate the chant. I really, and the promo I didn't like either. It's a bummer. While we're talking women's wrestling, I guess. I was thinking we really don't enough on the show. I feel bad. I was watching this. Every time we watch fucking Joshi, I'm like, God damn, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah. I considered putting two women's matches on this show, and then I just said, eh.
I mean, I would have been fine with it. I would have been, yeah. I respect women. I do.
You respect women. You respect me.
Yeah. I've tried really hard. First of all, I've had to respect you, and then I can respect, and then I respect my wife, and then now I'm working my way to the other women. Nancy
Pelosi. Respect
your
daughter.
Yes, I do.
Daughter.
I do respect my daughter. I'm a father to a daughter. There is no denying that. No, I think it's fucked up that we don't do more women's stuff on the show, and I would like to make that a thing that we better ourselves with.
Yeah.
And I know it's not your fault because you know this shit and I don't. So I want to know more.
You just got to go with the vibes. The vibes will take you. This is a vibe show.
There's so much wrestling I want to watch, and I don't, you know, I don't know Natsupoi. I don't know who the fuck that is.
Yeah.
But I heard she came back and it was really exciting. Maybe I should check it out. I don't fucking know. Let me know if I should. Anybody out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Kaoru, Aja Kong. We all know Aja Kong. She's the best. I don't think anybody needs to.
Nope.
We don't need to talk about that.
We don't need to extrapolate why Aja Kong. I mean, Aja Kong's just like self-evidently great if you just watch her and are not like piece of shit who's like,
well, I think most people are past that at this point. I think Aja Kong is one of those wrestlers that you can look at without having ever seen. You look at her for 30 seconds in the ring, you know exactly what she's about. You make your assessment of her and it's correct, and then it's great, you know? Like she's undeniable. I guess there's probably blue check like Vincel guys that say shit like that now still, but I feel like she's a known quantity.
Yeah.
Bull Nakano going in the Hall of Fame, you know, for her achievements such as the WWF Women's Championship.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we get started quick. Kaoru feigns a handshake, pulls Aja in for a German, sends her to the floor, tope, Aja hits the back of her head hard on the guardrail. And then Kaoru immediately hits two, like, moonsault presses off the second buckle to the floor.
Yeah.
So immediately on her. And we didn't get intros to this, but you can see there's streamers all over the floor. So
Kaoru... I mean, it's a big match. It's a title match.
It's very clearly high stakes. But is it a street fight? Is it billed as a street fight?
No. I think it's just, you know, you know, whatever happens, happens rules.
It's assumed that since Kaoru...
Relaxed rules.
Yeah.
Relaxed rules.
I think it's good. I think it's a good way to do it.
I should have done that in my Gabe voice. Relaxed rules.
Yeah, I have a voice I'm going to do later. I forgot what it was. I'm sure I'll remember. I love doing voices for the show. It's really nice. I practice them throughout the week, you know?
Yeah.
So Kaoru puts Aja on a table. I called her AJ Kong when I was younger. I thought her name was AJ Kong for some reason. And it's always been hard for me to shake that. So she puts Aja on the table, goes for a back senton off the top to the floor through the table. Aja moves, and Kaoru just obliterates this, like, usually impossible to break Japanese table.
Nope. This table explodes, yeah.
Lots of pieces. Lots of pieces and that will get used throughout the rest of the match, too. She beats the fuck out of her with this piece of table. The heaviest wood, I swear, just the heaviest wood, those tables. I mean, I know that's like, everybody knows that about Japanese tables. But when she's got part of it and she's swinging it and hit her in the head with it?
Yeah.
Really
sick. Like, it's never impressive to see someone get, like, whacked with a piece of, like, a U.S. table.
Yeah, not really. The doors have been an interesting one where the door is broken in half and then they use it.
Yeah.
But then it's like falling apart. You see the layers of shitty wood that are like flapping off of it, you know? I mean, it could still look good. You break it into a bunch of little pieces, but it's not the same as this where the compression of the neck on every shot. She just beats the shit out of her.
Oh, yeah. Throws her from one fucking guardrail to the next.
Yeah.
Like, all the way, like, lengthwise across the ring.
Yeah, she does. So they do that. They go up to the top of Korakuen, and she does it up there, too. The full length of the building, just grabs her by the hair and runs screaming with her into a concrete wall. there's this big metal sheet.
Yeah, that's like the gate to once it started gating the fans in a little bit because they were like, oh, fucking fans just go everywhere in this goddamn place.
Okay, so that's what that is. Okay, so it's a heavy piece of metal. And it's like it looks like it's literally 120 pounds or something. Like it looks heavy as fuck. And Aja, she just throws it at her head, right?
Yeah.
Pile drives her.
Onto the gate.
Oh, yeah, whatever the hell it is. And, yeah, then they go up to the second level. They go up to the second level of Korakuen. I love that building. I love the, you know, the east-west signs and the...
Oh, yeah.
Anytime somebody goes up to that second level and they start fighting up there, you know, the balconies you can jump off of, it's just it's the best building.
It's a great building.
I'm in Korakuen fucking Hall, man.
I'm in Korakuen Hall, man.
Fucking Drake. Metal box. That weird dented metal box. This is like
Aja's trash can?
It's Aja's trash can? I was going to say, I've seen this prop before, and only in Joshi matches. What is it?
Well, this is Aja's trash can.
It's Aja's, okay.
There's this, like, a specific model of trash can that Aja Kong has been using as her signature weapon for like 35 years now.
And she got like, it's one of those, what is it, the smart home? You know, those trash cans?
Sharper Image trash can?
No, it's not a, yeah, maybe it is that. You know, it's like a brand of home, you know, just like trash cans and shit. And I think they sell it at Target and it's always twice as expensive as, it's one of those.
Yeah.
It's a shiny metal box. It's Aja's trash can. And she beats on
this
her
one has her face paint on all four sides too.
Oh, so this is custom job.
Yeah.
Where do you get your trash cans made, Aja? And she's like, I won't tell you. You know, you ever heard about this? Like people gatekeep, or not? I guess gatekeeping. People having gear made and then not wanting to tell other wrestlers like who made their gear. I've seen wrestlers complain about this online recently. Very funny. So Kaoru's bleeding a bit. Kaoru. I think Kaoru. I don't know how many syllables. I should have figured this out, you know? I looked up Murahama later to make sure I knew which guy was which, even though I figured that, like, remembered it pretty easily.
Yeah.
I didn't want another situation where it's like Yumiko Hoda and Shinobu Kandori, and I don't know which one is which. Is that what happened?
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Talk about that. It's okay, buddy. It's
almost 90 episodes. So Kaoru's had this, like, she had this hot start, right? But now she's just been fucked. She gets brain busted in the ring. She tries to avoid back fists and eventually hits Aja with the box, the metal box. Aja just... Oh, she comes off the top with it. So she does
like a double axe handle. But
with the metal box.
Swinging the trash can.
Aja's trash can. And Aja, she takes it. It hits her in the head. But she also just grabs it with both hands and throws it down, doesn't sell it, and is just rude as hell. Kaoru hits the ropes, goes for a Rana, but she power bombs her ass out of it.
Yeah.
And then Aja climbs up to the buckle. She climbs to the second rope. Kaoru germans her off of there, goes for a moonsault, gets caught with 2 feet straight up in the face.
Like she's fucking Volador.
A Joshi-only move. Lucha, obviously, too. But as far as, like, anything outside of Mexico, this is only in Joshi. The 2 feet straight up in the air... Instead of putting the knees up, you know?
Yeah.
Which is an American, which is the pro style.
I think that it's evolved somewhat to that the 2 feet are, we've adapted the 2 feet into being part of U.S. wrestling. But, yeah. It's still pretty rare.
It's pretty rare. I don't know. It's awesome, obviously.
It's easier to use that as a transition to a different spot. Than it is for the, like, double
if you're not
knees.
Going for just a straight-up near fall. I mean, I think the 2 knees up on the splash and then rolled over into a pin is a great way to end a TV match, actually.
It is.
It's a good finish. Like, especially if the guy's finish is, like, a frog splash and you get the knees up on it, he's hitting you with such impact that it's going to make it easy for you to just roll the guy up after you block it. So... 2 feet in the face. It's classic, and it really works on a moonsault.
Yeah,
because you don't see them. You don't see the feet until they're in your face. Let's see, Kaoru. All right, Aja picks up Kaoru for a backdrop. Kaoru flips over, lands on her feet, slaps Aja in the face, hits the ropes. She's going for the Rana again. Got powerbombed last time. This time, Aja just heaves her overhead backwards.
She does like a hammock bump, but vaulted over the top rope.
Is it, so I don't know
how. You
don't
see the landing. You don't. You don't know exactly how it went, but I would assume not great.
It's into the dark abyss of the ringside area. There's no telling how she landed or what on. But yes, a hammock bump, a Chris Hammock bump over the top.
Of where's the bump?
Yeah. Man, Chris Hammock. The next thing that happens is Aja Khan goes for a fucking tope.
Yep.
Tope suicida. Kaoru meets her in midair with one of the same fucking pieces of the wooden table that took her out earlier. And it's a full commitment on the tope, right?
Yep.
Aja doesn't, like, halfway go out of the ring and hang on to the apron. No. Straight to the floor. Like it's like missing a tope. The only thing that was there to catch her was a big piece of wood to the head. Like, fucking awesome. I just, you know, anytime a big person, like, you know, some big people do topes, you know, and you see them, you know, and you get to know, like, you know, fucking Big Brody had a great one, like one of the best big man topes. Luke Harper, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Samoa Joe. Like, these guys, you get used to seeing it. I don't know if I've ever seen Aja Khan do a tope. I mean, I haven't seen a ton of her matches, to be fair, but it is definitely...
It's not one of her signatures, to be sure.
She didn't execute it like it was a signature.
No. It was like a, I'm feeling the moment, but move.
Yeah. You know the Stan Hansen Lope?
The Lope, yeah.
That's the best. I've been seeing, people have been posting that one recently. I think maybe it's, we're going to have a wave again of people like recognizing Stan Hansen's one of the best. So that's going to be good, hopefully.
As they should.
So another CTE shot with the wood, takes her up the bleachers and just beats on her with the wood. Kaoru's getting it back now. Giving it back to Aja.
Taking her to the woodshed.
Takes her to that big heavy metal thing from before. She's like, hey, remember the heavy thing? And she throws it at her.
Right.
She's like laying on the bleachers. Aja is. She's like laying like across like the second and third rows of the bleachers, and she's just sitting there with the chair, sitting there with the wood. And Kaoru sets up a fresh table in the exact same spot, I believe. Pretty much the exact same spot that she ate shit on the first one.
It looks about the same spot.
Yeah, it might be a different side of the ring. I'm not sure.
I would say it's probably the different side of the ring, but yeah, I'm not.
Because you wouldn't.
I can't confirm this.
The wreckage of that hasn't been cleared. I can't imagine.
But no, then, you don't want to. Yeah.
Like, maybe you do though. Maybe you do want to pile on.
I mean, is it? You know, who could say if you want to pile onto the flotsam and jetsam?
Yeah, maybe you want it to be as messy as possible. She gets her up on the table. Smashing her like three or four times with the wood from the last table, and she goes up and she hits that fucking back senton, the same move that she went for the first time, which is logical pro wrestling, and you love to see it.
Yeah.
She's bleeding a lot now. She's like, she's doing proper wrestling psychology. What a good wrestler.
Yep.
I was immediately sold on Kaoru from this one, just because just the little things, you know? Just do the same. Yeah, you went for that move earlier. It fucked up. Yeah, do it again. You did it for a reason the first time. You can't change your entire plan just because you missed the first one, you know? I really like that. So, in the ring, she does an attempted broken board moonsault.
Moonsault to the hand.
Yeah. Well, all right. So no, that's in a minute.
Okay.
We have to get there because she misses. Aja moves, and Kaoru lands on her feet, sort of, right? And then she stabs Aja in the fucking arm with the jagged end of the table.
Yeah.
And Aja sells it like she's been shot. Like,
oh no, it's brutal.
And so I wasn't sure. She bladed the arm.
Crying like a baby, basically.
Yeah, she's like really, it's really sad. It's really pretty harrowing. She's bladed the arm or gotten, Kaoru actually stabbed her in the arm enough to get blood. She's been gigged in some fashion. Visible color on the arm. And then Kaoru goes to fucking work on that arm with the board, specifically with the board. And yeah, this is where she fucking moonsaults her hand. Which is, this is the kind of... I've ever told you about me and my friend Brian on a weekday after school. We had our best match ever, and it was like 30 minutes, and we didn't have a referee. We just had Josh, who was the world's biggest The Crow fan, and I'm sure he's pissing himself over that fucking, probably mad as hell about that remake trailer
about Darby Allin Crow.
Yeah, and so he's filming and counting for us as a referee from outside the ring. And we had this incredible match built around fucking arm work, right? And he gave me the guillotine leg drop on my arm. And
hell yeah.
It looks so stupid, but it's just the best. And it was the best match that we ever had. And this brought me back because she lays her on the ground, sort of perpendicular to where she would be landing with such a move, a moonsault. You wouldn't want to moonsault a person in this position. She lays her arm out flat and fucking moonsaults with the wood, right? She's still got the wood?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a table salt, a wood salt, onto only the arm. And at this point, I just said, oh, she's so cool. This says Kaoru is so cool. Here it says Kuru is so cool. I had a hard time typing it, but the message is clear.
Yes. And it's some real Sabu shit. It's some real, like, advanced psychology shit.
Yeah, it is like Sabu in the sense that, like, oh, this could hurt me, then it hurts you. But I've got a goal, and I'm fucking going for it. And then she gets her up for like a Northern Lights bomb or something.
Yeah.
Aja fights out, hits her with one of the loudest back fists I've ever seen or heard. This first one that she hits her with is so loud. And then, but Aja can't go for the cover because her arm has a big hole in it.
Yeah, her arm's all fucked up.
Which is also the arm she does the back fist with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the right arm, yeah. Okay. She goes for another back fist, then gets caught in a flying arm bar of some kind, like a Juji Gatami, which is an awesome moment. She fights to the rope break, and we get... She ends up on the top buckle at some point, right? She goes up to the second rope. Kaoru gets up and sort of just backhand slaps her over and over.
Yeah.
Like pimp slap, you know? Remember when they used to say that?
Oh, yeah, no.
Around the time this match happened?
Pimp hand is strong, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She stuns her with the pimp slaps, grabs her from the buckle, and takes two steps forward, and then drops into one of the sickest Fire Thunder Drivers, for lack of a better description, that you've ever seen.
Oh yeah, it's like an it's like an iconoclasm or something, except she just drops.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, it is a sheer drop and you know, Owen and Austin fucking landing sort of for Aja. Like, not a clean bump either.
No.
Like the kind that actually injures someone. And then Kaoru tries to lift her for like a DVD or Samoan drop or something. She gets slapped in the face. Aja's still got life in her. She goes for the Frankensteiner again, Kaoru does, and gets it, but gets rolled through in the cradle, catches another Hurricane for two. Hurricane.
Aja hits her with like this flick with the other arm that's like one of the nastiest looking things I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like an uppercut, basically.
Yeah, she's having to kind of change up the strategy quite a bit and really bleeding a lot from the arm. It's you know, I wasn't at a certain point, I couldn't remember which arm was bleeding because she had blood on both of her arms, just because she's bleeding enough that it's getting all over.
Yeah.
And let's see here. Aja goes for the... Oh, she hits the she hits like a big super air raid crash of some kind off the second rope. Aja does.
Yeah, that's like an Aja signature where it's just like it's like a back drop, but she falls with the opponent.
Yeah, it's like the Orange Cassidy beach break kind of. Maybe a little. I was gonna say less elegant, about the same amount of elegant, yeah. But it looks great. It's a high impact move, especially off the second rope. And then she scoop slams her, lays the half of the broken table on Kaoru, goes for a double stomp off the second rope. Kaoru moves, ducks a clothesline. Aja goes for the Hurricane again. And of course, because Kaoru's holding a big sharp piece of wood, she stabs her in the fucking arm again.
Yep.
And then Kaoru punches her right in the fucking face.
It's a haymaker. It's so fucking good. It's such a good pitch.
And it's a great near fall. I bought it. I don't know Kaoru's finish. Maybe her finish is that punch.
Yeah.
What the fuck do I know? You know? I really thought it was over. That was great. And then at this point, Kaoru just really, it seems like she's just trying to cut Aja's whole arm off with the fucking jagged table.
Oh, yeah.
She goes for this falling stab with it, and Aja moves, and it's like when Berserker stabbed the fucking sword into going for the Undertaker.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And she, Aja manages to get up and get a moment to take her glove off of the right hand. And then she rubs the blood up and down her arm. And then with two hands, she wipes the blood all over her own face.
She's hulking up.
She raises the fist and screams something. And then she doesn't wait for Kaoru. She grabs Kaoru, stands her up, looks her in the face, measured, calculated, looks her right in the eye, 360s, fucking blammo right in the side of the jaw.
Back fist to the future.
It's so good. She's out like a light, and I knew it was three. They set it up so perfectly, so that was the best finish of any wrestling match. You should know it's the finish. I know that like goes against the whole idea of like, oh wow, I really thought that was going to be the finish, and then it wasn't, and I'm so excited. But when it's actually the finish, when you see the move and you like are like, oh, well, that is it. And then you're right. You're like, well, they did the right thing. I'm right. And
yeah,
they're right.
You're like, okay, finally you got to the fucking finish. You hate that. That's like literally the opposite of what you're supposed to do at a climax.
Yeah. Yeah. In most cases. There's exceptions to that rule, obviously, too. Like King's Road stuff. But like, this is perfect ending. It's so
well,
good.
And then King's Road style, you're still not supposed to be like, okay, finally get to the fucking point of it.
Yeah, well, yeah. The building on top of like layer on top of layers into the late 90s, it does get a little over the top, but you know, different conversation. I guess I shouldn't have brought it up. Sorry. after the match, Aja wins. After the match, she sits right next to Kaoru for a good long while. They chat. And Aja helps her to her feet, and they hug, and it's pretty nice. I liked it.
That's that fucking, yeah, guy-ism, baby.
Yeah, the hugging, wrestlers now hug more, but I feel like you got, like, a strong handshake. Like, Hogan would give you a handshake or whatever. Like, Hogan wasn't going to hug Ultimate Warrior.
No, you know? No, that's gay.
That's fucking gay, yeah, I know. Brother, I'm not, I don't swing that way. What, hugging? No. But I think it's nice. I think it's nice when people have, I think, physical human contact is nice.
Yeah.
During COVID, I was like, you know, I'm good with never shaking hands or hugging anybody again. And then I guess I just changed my mind. I don't know. Now I love to shake hands. Practice your handshake. Make it good. Make it so people remember you. Put a little piece of salami in your palm. That way, you know. Okay, you want to do the next match? Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
From March 25th, we go to Osaka Pro. We're in Osaka. I think it's Osaka NGK TV Studio. In a different style fight, it's Naohiro Hoshikawa versus Takahiro Murahama.
All right. Different style fight in the sense. So Murahama, kickboxer or what?
Kickboxer.
Okay. And Hoshikawa, what? Judo? I don't
know. Hoshikawa is just a pro wrestler.
He's just a pro wrestler. Okay. So different style. Okay.
I think he knew some. I think he had like judo training, but he's just here to represent pro wrestling against this little fuck who's come to Osaka Pro to fuck everything up.
Yeah.
He's challenging people all over the card. He's fucking people up. He fucked up Hoshikawa in his first match. And now Hoshikawa's like, nope, we're doing this for real. We're doing this for real.
So Murahama has a pretty successful career in kickboxing by this point, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he did mixed martial arts stuff too, right? Didn't he fight in Pride? Okay. So Murahama's like a name. Both of these guys are being early 2000s junior heavyweights were names that I saw on the internet a lot without ever actually watching a lot of their matches. The Hoshikawa match that I always think of is Z1, where he wrestles Marufuji and Takaiwa in those early Z1 shows. Z1. I said Z1, but that's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Do people call it Z1? Z1.
They call it Z1.
You would type Z1 would be the abbreviation when you submitted your match of the year list to
that's
whatever.
That's fair.
That's why I call it Z1. So Z1. And so those shows were obviously had a lot of like American indie people, right?
Yeah,
and so they were the ones they were some of the first ones you'd buy if you're getting into tapes in 02. I had the first 01 show. I had, you know, and they had Tanaka, and they had, and I, you know, Hashimoto was one of the first guys that I really got into. Also,
Otani's there.
Otani was there, yeah. So it was an easy sell. It was an easy sell, and so Hoshikawa being on the undercard of those shows, he always stuck out. He's a cool looking guy. He looks fucking really cool here when he comes out.
It's pugnacious.
Yes, for sure. The entrance is here. The music's like added in post. It's just like, you know, it's not their entrance music. But there's these cool interview bits in black and white with like stylish framing for Murahama, who's sitting back there with Delphin and somebody else, or Tsubasa or whatever. And it's got the stylish framing and cool, bold italics text. You know, it's just quintessential late 90s style kind of stuff. And Murahama's got the gloves, as we discussed. I don't think we were recording really yet, but Murahama's got the kickboxing gloves.
He's got his fucking MMA gloves. He's like ready to, you know, he just had a fucking fight and shooter the week before. Like he's still a mixed martial artist, but he's also becoming a pro wrestler.
Sure. Same thing with The Undertaker, right? Same kind of thing. He's, you know, he was in Shudo a week before, and now he's wrestling Brock Lesnar and Hell in a Cell. The sick trench coat and sort of like Masahiro Chono glasses on Hashikawa. Yeah. That's a good look, too. I was really impressed by that. And then Murahama. All right, so this is one of those matches. This is one of a genre of match that we do on this show occasionally where I don't know what the rules of the match are before I start watching it. And then I'm watching it and I'm like, does this have rounds? Is there going to be points in this match? Like, I really...
There are rounds.
There are rounds, which I was not surprised by. When the bell rang, I was like, yes, of course. But they, you know, it's fun to go into a thing, like a shoot-style thing, and not have any idea. The first time I watched U-Style, and I didn't know the scoring system or whatever.
Yeah.
But the graphics are on the screen, and it's pretty easy to watch U-Style.
There are no graphics here. They're just going to fight.
There's not even commentary, I don't think, right?
No.
It's like one camera, I think. It might be two cameras. There's no hard cam. It's just all up close, like, you know, like Futen. It's got that vibe. And this is Osaka Pro. Lovely Osaka Pro, which is, you know, that really
brought it back.
It is back. People are talking about it. Lots of people are talking about it. I don't know if that's actually true, but it brought me back.
I want them to be talking about it because it's Zeus. We want Zeus to be Zeus's endeavors to be successful.
Yeah, yeah, that was
Zeus is the man.
That is a guy that has money left on the table. They didn't. I don't know. They tried, I guess. All Japan did with Zeus, but they didn't follow through.
It was hard. It was, Kento was a hot hand. You can't, you know, but Zeus was fucking. He was the man.
Yeah, God, that match, that Kento Zeus match. Jesus Christ, 2018.
2018, the one where Zeus wins the belt?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I like that and the fucking one where Kento wins it back. That whole...
Oh, I don't remember which one I liked, actually, you know?
They're both good.
They're both good.
Great, man.
There's one where he breaks out of the sort of the capture German suplex, where it's like it's the strength the Zeus has to, you know, it's like, it's not a straitjacket suplex. It's where you German him with the arms. You know, people know Kento Miura's fucking finish move. But he, like, powers out of it, and it was, we all compared it to when fucking Hogan broke the Sheik's camel clutch. Yeah. Osaka Pro. Cool place. One of the most colorful canvases of all time. Really brought me back just looking at the logo and the color of the canvas. I was thinking about Kuishin Bokam and Ebison.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the fucking first full matches that I ever was able to watch on a computer. Like, that was in, like, 2000. I think I fucking downloaded that off of Kazaa or you know, Napster or whatever the hell. Whatever.
LimeWire,
whichever thing. In 2001 or 2002. I said 2000, but it would have been probably 02. But that was one of the first full-length matches that I was ever able to download. It's fucking crazy. And it was on this canvas. So this match is not like that, though.
No.
This match is not like Ebison and Kuishin Bo Common. Oh, it's very not. It starts out, Murahama swarms him with the Garmin Gary, mounted punches. The shoot style is here. It's happening on the colorful, beautiful canvas of Osaka Pro. Tentative leg kicks are blocked, dodged from both. A bit, you know, hard roundhouses. This is gonna be a tricky one to talk
it is.
About. Maybe,
this
but
is, I do. I mean, when watching this match, I'm like, oh man, because I know these matches are always hard. Like, just like, okay, so there's a kick.
Yeah.
Fucking
okay,
kick.
They're doing
the
kicks. Okay.
Good, though.
That's a good
they're
kick.
All good kicks.
The kick
the
at
good
four
shit.
Minutes and 36. You know, some. We're giving timestamps for when the good kicks are. No, it's great. It's great.
So, yeah, Murahama's the one pushing the pace, and he's the one because he's the cocky invader, and he's like, yeah, I don't need your shit, like your pro wrestling bullshit. I could beat you with my MMA style. And, you know, Hoshikawa's here. He's a Black Trunks boy. He's still like, no, fuck that. We're going to fucking go. But he's getting dominated. He's getting dominated.
He goes down to a knee in the first round off of a punch combo. And Murahama takes him down with punches and then gives him one kick to the head and some more punches until the ref calls it a down. Even though he's not all the way down, he's down on one knee and can't defend himself. So it's sort of battle arts kind of rules with the downs. Hoshikawa gets a shoot style headlock takeover that looks really good. It's a pro wrestling move, but he's doing it with the snap of a shoot style hold.
The snugness.
Yeah. And that's right as the bell rings, ending the first round. And that's where I was like, okay, rounds. Gotcha. They open round two. Hoshikawa mad knees to the body. They check leg kicks from each other, but Murahama aims high and gets one shot off to Hoshikawa's head. Which is a nicely landed blow, but Hoshikawa shakes it off. Hoshikawa combo, shoots low, they go in the ropes, shoots low again, Murahama stuffs it, spins around him a little while, you know, he's like, they're doing real graps. I don't know.
Yeah, they're spinning, they're fucking, it's like, it's hard, Murahama's winning on points, but he isn't making Hoshikawa look like a fool either. It's just, yet, but Murahama is clearly like winning this match.
Yeah. So Murahama grabs a triangle, right? And this is still pro wrestling after all. So Hoshikawa deadlifts him, power bombs him out of it, right? Yeah. But Murahama, this being a shoot style match, also Murahama doesn't sell it the way a pro wrestler would sell a power bomb. He gets right back up for stand up fighting. Which it could have been a down and like a standing eight count, but that's not the kind of match they're trying to have.
Yeah.
And there's a, let's see here. Murahama sells a sort of a side headlock. It looks like just a headlock really, but Hoshikawa gets him in a headlock and Murahama sells it like it's a kill move and quickly like panicked goes for the ropes. Then Murahama catches, one. All right. So,
well, one of Hoshikawa's like signatures was he would do like the giant swing to an opponent while he had them like in the headlock, so he was swinging like okay. I don't know. I mean, I guess Hechicero is the closest thing to anybody who does that now. Sure. It looked dangerous. It was always scary as hell. It looked great.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it's like that's the idea. It's like, all right, it's like if he gets that, I'm fucked. But I gotta make sure for damn sure he doesn't get that and he doesn't, you know, use his powerful knowledge of headlocked fucking like, shit.
I mean, it's great. I mean, I bought it. I didn't know why. Yeah. I didn't know why Murahama was so afraid of the headlock, but I get it. They only had to tell me once and now I know. Hoshikawa goes, they stand up again. Hoshikawa goes for a kick to the midsection. Murahama catches the kick and then Hoshikawa hits like an Owen Hart enziguri, but this is like a shoot style match. So Murahama doesn't, he just shrugs and like does like the waves his hand, come bring it on. And the bell rings to end round two. So round three finds us on even footing, until Murahama really gets the best of him about halfway through the fall or through the round, mounted punches, dominates him for a minute. They break, and then Hoshikawa does a nip up to act like he isn't owned, actually.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny. It was pretty clear that Hoshikawa was losing this match. Maybe not every round, and I don't know if they're doing a points thing. I don't know how many rounds they're going to go until the end when he says final round. They stand up fighting, intense struggling, legitimate looking fighting and takedowns. You know, it looks like a real fight. They're doing it.
Loud as hell with all, like, they're just like every movement they make on the like standing up sounds like they're hitting with both feet at once.
Yeah. Full body contact with the mat, right? I stopped doing yoga, but you're supposed to all four corners of the feet, which I'm like, four corners of the feet, the fuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're definitely fully engaged with each other and with the space around them. The smack of the kick pads from Murahama on Hashikawa's flesh. It's just like it's a very visceral, loud match. And in the way that, you know, the best Futen and battle arts stuff is no commentary, you know, one camera, because you want to get in there and feel
you
it.
You want to get in the guts.
Yeah, yeah, you want
to get
up
to get to the heart of the matter.
Yeah. It's a sensory experience beyond just watching, you know. You need to be able to smell it. That's right.
Yeah, feel it. Feel it in the air.
I know it smelled crazy in there. Osaka Pro, I mean. We stand it back up again. They finish the third round on even ground, I was going to say. But that was probably the most split round yet, third one, I'd say.
Hoshikawa is becoming, like, less, intimidated, contextually by Murahama's shit.
He's going for some stuff. I mean, he had a couple, the third round was good for him, and he had a couple of those, you know, those headlocks where he clearly Murahama's on the ropes. And he comes out hard in the fourth round, Hoshikawa does. He goes for this, like, spinning soul butt kick that looked like it could have just put a hole through Murahama's belly if he had got him.
Yeah.
And then he yanks him with this fucking shoot suplex. It was like a belly-to-belly. He takes the back, locks in a rear naked choke, and Murahama immediately has to roll into the ropes for the break. So, like, it's starting
to... Hoshikawa's starting to get his frozen. Yeah, he gets him with, like, a big, nasty German.
Yeah, and Murahama looks tired now when he stands up. And there's a... He tries to capture suplex. There's, like, a... Murahama throws a kick at him. He catches it, and he's trying to grab him for, like, a capture suplex, right?
Yeah.
And Murahama backs... He, like, hops one-footed back into the ropes to break it, all while standing. He's, like, that afraid of the suplex. So the dynamic has changed,
for
sure.
Yeah, like, he is respecting Hoshikawa's power.
Yeah.
And his, like, physical... His core strength.
Yeah. And he hits the two Germans right after that. That's what I have written here. And then Murahama fights hard, gets a German of his own, but Hoshikawa grabs the wrist control out of the German, finds a Jujigatami.
Locks that shit in.
Not close to the ropes. Murahama's finally in the middle. But this is where it's like, oh, I know what they're doing. They're going to get to the end of the round. And this is proper shoot-style storytelling. Like, I haven't watched one of these types of matches in a while, but I know a late fourth round submission in the middle of the ring. We know the bell's about to ring. So the fourth round ends, and, you know, Murahama's arm might be in little pieces, but he's survived.
Hoshikawa's kind of cut up on the forehead.
Yeah.
He's looking, like, raw meaty.
Yeah, I thought he was bleeding actually from the eye, but I thought that after the match. There's a shot of him lying in the ground after the match. At this point, I thought Hoshikawa might win on points. If they did points, just because he had such a strong fourth round. And, like, four suplexes, you know?
Yeah.
Multiple forcing of rope breaks. But at this point, I still don't know what the rules of the match are. And this match is about to end, and I still wasn't fully clear on what the rules of the match were.
It might just be that it ends. There's just, like, no winner.
I think that there's points... for knockdowns, and I think he ran out of points, like UWF style, or is that right? UWF style,
yeah.
Where the points are deducted every time you
UWF,
yeah.
Rings, yeah.
This is not my. I like this stuff, but I don't know it that well. So, although I have watched a lot of rings, but it was so long ago. It was like 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
So he comes out strong. Hoshikawa does. Murahama sort of eggs him on. And then Murahama does this incredible flurry of punches, and I swear, he covers every inch of Hoshikawa's face with punches.
Oh, yeah.
He's going down slowly, and then he gets up slowly. it's an 8 count, I think. It's an 8 count here.
Yeah.
But he looks messed up now. Like, Hoshikawa's face, it's not, like, swelling necessarily, but he looks like a guy who just got punched in the face a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, spiritually. Sure. And then... No matter, because he hits a low blow, maybe on accident, to Murahama. I don't know. What did you think about that?
I think that might have been an accident. Yeah, he's like the baby face.
So sold as an accident, and it was a spot that was planned, or legitimately accidentally hit him in the balls?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I couldn't tell. I like that I can't tell. That's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Muhammad withstands a couple of kicks and charges in for another incredible 10-punch combo. I went back and counted. He throws 10 in a row. Only 8 of them connect because Hoshikawa is down after the 8th one. This is about a 5 count here that the ref gets to before Murahama breaks the count by stomping him.
He's stomping the shit out of him. He's just hitting pro wrestling stomps on him. It's great.
Yeah, and Hoshikawa gets up pissed. He looks fucking pissed when he gets up. But then he like looks around like he can't even find him. Did you notice this?
Yeah, he looks glazed over.
It was very convincing because the way the camera is just one guy standing on the floor shooting in the ring, and so the field of view isn't that big. You can't, you know, without the camera guy turning, you don't know where Murahama is either. And then when he comes flying in with this crazy fucking enziguri or head kick thing, I don't even know what to call it. It was like almost a flying knee. And what, a dozen more awesome punches?
Yeah.
Every inch. That's what I wrote on. Every inch of Hoshikawa's head. Because he really does. He's like punching him like all over the face.
Yeah. It's just like he's targeted in on the face. But there's a lot of face, though.
There's a lot of face.
That means you can just hit people, you know, hitting someone in the cheek and hitting someone in the chin.
Right.
That's still hitting them in the face. Those are just two different parts of your face.
Yeah. He's not good with that, though. He wants to go right in the – he wants to go to the nose, both eyes. He punches him right in the middle of the forehead. Like, why do you do that?
Well, I'm just going to fuck his face off.
I'm just going to punch you, you know, 12, 15 more times.
Facial abuse.
Yes, facial abuse. Yes. Thank you for that. That's the name of the episode. Goodness. So the ref does stop the fight here. And I don't know if it was points or if it was a knockout.
Yeah.
I would have bought it as a knockout. I don't think Hoshikawa is going to be able to get back up.
No, he looks cooked.
Yeah, but there's no 10 count. It's just a ref stoppage. It's over. And raises Murahama's hand. I thought maybe, like, when the bell rang, I thought maybe they'd run out of time. But then I was like, no, that was like a minute into the round. So
yeah, it's like a minute 39, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great. And that's where Hoshikawa lays on his back bleeding from his eye, which is awesome. Or wherever he's bleeding from. It's either it's bleeding from his eye or the blood is going and dripping directly into his eye. And either is good.
Yeah.
I'll take either. Murahama cuts a promo holding the mic in his big dumb gloves, which looks hilarious. And suddenly he's all cocky and goofy sounding. He's got kind of a high-pitched voice. And he doesn't even act like he was just in a crazy-ass fight. And then he talks some shit at Tsubasa. We gotta go back to Osaka again. Like that,
oh, yeah, we do.
That was so good. I love that. And we've done one match from there ever, right? Billy Kin Kid versus Dick Togo?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Ebison, Kuishin Bokamen, I don't know. Figure something out. What fun. What fun. I love, what is it? Satenbori? Is that what it's called in Yakuza Dota? Zero?
Oh! I don't remember what it's called in Yakuza.
I think it's called Sotenbori.
Sotenbori, yeah, Sotenbori. That sounds right.
Yeah, it's a really cool place to walk around in that video game. nice to go back to Osaka. I always say. Do you want to take a little break?
Let's take a little break.
And when we come back, we'll talk about Tracy Smothers.
We'll talk about another guy doing Michinoku Pro things.
Yeah,
Pain.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I guess that frog splash, right? Yeah.
Oh, dude, he does the goddamn Nanawa crab.
Oh, he does do the. I wrote it down. I totally wrote it down. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right.
All right. Morikawa versus Tommy Wilson and Tony Stradlin. Los Angeles, UPW Lightweight Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. UPW Lightweight Heavyweight Tag Team Championship.
That's very UPW. Tony Stradlin, though. Hell yeah.
All right, so a cage death match, a powerbomb from the top of the cage, and then a clothesline, and that's when Hoshikawa got brain damage?
I think it was...
Welcome back to Wrestling Is Gross.
So I think this is a story that we've tried to go back and forth on the podcast about, but I think it was that Takaiwa went for a... went to swing a clothesline that was supposed to miss, but Hoshikawa got... was like a millisecond too late on the duck.
Mm.
And as you've said, when you do a missed clothesline, you are supposed to swing as hard as fucking possible.
Yeah, I shouldn't laugh because of what happened to the guy, but yeah. He was in a month-long coma, woke up in November of 04. This happened October 17th, 2004 was when the match was. Apparently a cage death match, according to Wikipedia.
That was an all-cage show, yeah.
That's the all-cage show.
Yeah, and 01 were doing all cage shows at the time.
TNA, CZW did one. I'm almost to that one in my
TNA
watch.
Did one, and a guy died then, yeah.
Wait, what happened there?
Candido.
Oh, right.
I don't know if that's related to the cage or not.
But still, that's interesting. It's interesting that...
Did you watch that Dark Side of the Ring?
No, that's...
Yeah, it was just
Tammy
sad.
And all that, it's all too close. Even though I was never a Candido guy, really, but Sunny, I don't want to think about her. You know?
Yeah. just go into jail for life.
I gotta be honest, I don't want to think about it. It makes me sad. So let's move on.
I mean, some of these 01 all cage, like, they're very fun. The SAT and Spanky versus Jun Kasai, Hoshikawa, and Osamu Namaguchi.
Mamaguchi's not the guy that I expected to be at the end of that. That's funny. That's very funny. And that's in a cage.
Fujiwara.
That's the Maximos? Did the Maximos do a Spanish laugh cage?
Who could say? Fujiwara and Hash versus Tanaka and Kuroda in a cage.
Yeah. They should make the cage explode while they're at it. Fuck it. That sounds awesome.
I wonder how many... Because some of these are like
Hashimoto's dead like a month from here.
No. He's dead like a... I think he's dead literally a year after this, but...
Okay.
Because this is July 2004, these are. Because they did several. Okay. So he's about... Yeah, it's literally 367 days before he dies.
It's very funny that they did multiple all-cage shows in 01. It's not funny what happened to Naohiro Ishikawa. But he did... I guess he came back and he wrestled a match?
I don't know.
It says he defeated Naomi Chimera Fuji in less than a minute. So he was able to stand with a crutch and he did a thing. So that's fine. I'll take it.
Mera Fuji, kind of not a good wrestler on the whole.
Oh, fuck like a, you.
But he's such a nice guy.
Is Naomi Chimera Fuji is what would happen if Rick Blade became the top star and president of the second biggest company in America.
Yeah,
that's what Naomichi Marufuji
is. That's cool, but also I wish he was more. I wish he got to do even more backyard bullshit.
Yeah, you can watch the old matches. They're still there. You can still watch fucking Kenta Fuji versus the Untouchables, April 26, 2004.
And then he gets old, and then he becomes better when
he
gets
awesome.
Old.
Yeah, I like young Marufuji. I like old Marufuji. Good guy. I like him a lot.
I like Mera Fuji.
I saw him wrestle Michael.
Mera Fuji is fun to hate on, so I like Mera Fuji.
I saw him wrestle Donovan Dijak live at Glory Pro for Michael Elgin's Fed.
Remember when Mera Fuji was at Hooters?
Yeah.
That was fucking great time. The Glory Pro run rocked. It's a shame what happened with Elgin. He's dead. He became Michael Ronan.
Yeah, his whole story has been it's just gotten weirder since then too. It's so funny.
It's really funny and it's very sad because like we all felt like Elgin had sort of turned the corner and like maybe he was going to be like a responsible adult and it turns out he's dumber than ever.
No. That show is where I really became friends with Doxy, with Mike Stocks. So shouts out to Michael Elgin for that, and Cody was there, wrestled, you know. So a good memory of mine. Weird venue. Weird. It's Southern Illinois, you know?
Yeah.
The St. Louis area is all pretty weird. So, do you want to go to another place that's weird? Southern Indiana?
Let's go to Southern Indiana. Let's go to Clarksville, baby.
Oh,
October 6th, 2000. Is it October 5th or October 6th?
It's 5th. It's the 5th.
October 5th, 2002. In a Tennessee street fight, we have Bull Payne versus the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smulders.
Oh, man. Now, all right. It's the first time we talked Bull Payne on the show, right?
It is.
Tracy, we've talked about, like, in the Southern Boys.
And in the Fogs.
Oh, in the Fogs. We just did that. That's right. I keep forgetting that episode happened. If people, I forgot about it, and I think it's because I never listened to it initially, and I just listened to it like 2 weeks ago. It's fucking great. Our
it's
Southern,
a really good episode. Our I Southern, thought it was fun as hell. Yeah.
What's the name of that one? What's the fucking? I'm gonna plug. I'm plugging
what
the show.
The official title of it is? I don't fucking know.
Oh, that's okay. You don't listen to the show. You're not a listener.
I hate my voice. Yeah.
It's all right. You do a great job. You're a wonderful co-host. It was called. It was called Velcro Boys.
Velcro
that was
Boys,
Velcro
yeah.
Boys. Yeah. So check that one out. Episode 87. It's really fucking good. I just couldn't stop laughing at a couple of the bits we did. So Tracy fucking Smulders. I think about it all the time. In 2019, I sent a message to Tracy Smulders Wrestling School on Facebook to ask, what their rates were and shit. I was like, I'm kind of old and I'm kind of past the point, but I used to backyard. And they replied to me and said I should come by, and then I just never replied. And then he died like a year and a half later.
Yeah.
COVID happened, you know. It was never going to, but still, I think about it all the time. And I know he was running a school out in some shitty little auto garage, I think is what it was. And it was like an hour and 25 minutes away from where I live. You know, it could have, there's a universe where I, at the age of 31, the year before COVID-19, trained to become a professional wrestler with Tracy Smulders.
Yeah.
It's the closest I had gotten to it since I actually did train to wrestle like 17 years ago now. But
Paul
like,
Taylor.
Yeah. Shouts out. The Tracy Smulders thing, you immediately get it the first time you watch an IWA show with him on it. I got my first IWA tape because of death matches, because I saw SmartMark Video had like an AVI file or a WMV file on their website of the Necro arm incident. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
It's from like 4 months before this, right? It's from over the summer, and his arm gets cut up like real bad by a light tubes that are suspended weirdly, you know?
Well, it was like a fucking House of Pain match or whatever, right?
Yeah, it was one of those. And it was messy. And that clip was on the SmartMark Video website. You could download it. And it's the first time I ever saw IWA, is that clip. So that was about 4 months before this match happened. And this was the show I bought. This and the show from the night before, I think. What's the show with Nate Webb versus Nick Mondo? Do you know that one?
Not off the top of my head.
I've
seen it, the match, but I don't know. I don't remember what show it is. Like,
it's from Clarksville. This is Clarksville, right? This is Clarksville.
Yeah.
They were in this building for just over a year, I think. But it feels so iconic because this is where they did. This is where When Hero Met Punk, the 93-minute match. You know, which is.
Yeah.
Famous still, I think. People know that one still. This is where JC Bailey and Madman Pondo did the crazy scaffold spider web. Which
IWA okay, there's the IWA's 300 show is the one.
Yes.
That's a table of sliders and chairs.
Oh, they wrestle the both shows. Pin. They wrestle and then they wrestle the next day. Okay, so those
they
two shows.
They also face off in 2002 TPI, but that's not what you're thinking of, I'm certain.
No. I think those two shows are the ones that I bought, and then I bought this one next. So I think October 5th and 4th, which was the 5th anniversary or the 6th anniversary show, and what's the other show called? The one with Tarek versus Ian?
Retro Night.
So I bought those two because you could buy that and this and the 300th show and the match and the one that followed. which I guess was just called 301. Yeah,
it was called 301. Yeah.
So you could buy those as a two tape set for 20, I think, and the tapes were usually 15. So I think I got these two for 20, and then I got the Retro Night and 6th Anniversary for 20, or something like that. And that was why it was an attractive thing for me to dip my toe in to IWA, was they were slightly cheaper tapes, and they were full of guys that I knew, you know. So having said all that, I'm not sure if this is the first Tracy Smothers, you know, brawl, like, fuck around match that I ever saw. But it feels like it. When I watched this, and as I scrubbed through the show, I really had the memories flood back.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Yeah.
It happened to me. And now, so I know the four matches you've chosen are all 2000 to 2002. I think that's the sweet spot for a lot of us.
It is. I wasn't intended as such. It just, I don't know, those just were like the four that was like, I want to talk about this, and fuck it, let's talk about this.
Well, there's a certain feeling to them.
Mm-hmm.
The other matches being like 2000 Japan, in a within what 45 days of each other. We didn't even mention it, but the two matches that we covered in the first half are just in, you know, within a few weeks of each other. So moving to 2002, we're, you know, post 9/11. You have to say it. You can't not say it. You're gonna ignore it. You can't ignore it. It's different though. It's things have changed a lot in 2 years. You know, ECW's gone, WCW's gone. Like, it's really weird out there. 2002 is the year that the indies explode, you know? So it's for me also. It's my sweet spot. 2002. So I scrubbed through. Do you watch any other parts of this show?
Yeah, some of them.
Did you see go ahead.
I saw Mark Wolf.
Yeah.
Looking hilarious.
I watched the last 7 or so minutes of that match. I thought I was watching the last 2, and then it went on for a while.
Yeah.
But it's Mitch Ryder, right? And Mark Wolf.
And yeah.
So those are two great IWA guys that we're going to talk about soon on an episode that I have planned. I stopped there really because I saw Bull in that section, and maybe the match listing on VK was out of order too. So I saw Bull Payne. And I stopped because I was like, oh, this is the match I'm supposed to watch next.
Yeah, one of the either Cage match or VK have the like I just had the fucking list out of order.
Yeah. Well, I'll be able to tell you in just a second because I just had that up. The next match after Mitch Ryder and Mark Wolf, which is a nice match that's bloody and sees Chris Hero save Mark Wolf. Of course, Chris Hero and Mark Wolf, long rivalry and back and forth relationships between the two of them. Chris Hero saves Mark Wolf, and then that leads directly into Chris Hero versus M-Dog 20 for the IWA World title, I believe.
Yes.
Which is quite a match. Did you see the clip I shared from this match?
On the shirt.
That's all right.
I didn't see it, no.
Last night, I sent it to Scott Joplin, the entertainer, and have a slow-motion clip of Matt Cross's attempted pole climb and dive through a table that I recommend you watch immediately.
I'm watching it. Yeah, I'm like, you're going right to the podcast to go.
Yeah, full volume. It's great. And so M-Dog 20 just won their world title, which is awesome. That's the kind of shit that just Ian would do, and you know, you just loved it. Because it's like, oh, it doesn't make any sense. Oh.
That fucking hero's face is perfect.
Well, he got hit so hard in the leg.
Yeah, it's so fucking...
Oh, I didn't expect it to come in so loud. I'm so glad it did. That was perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Joplin. the national anthem. So Bull Payne, how to describe him? Please go ahead.
He's a bulldog of a man.
Sure. He's stretched a little for a bulldog, but he has definitely got the build of a bulldog. He's tall and big. He's big. Right?
Oh yeah, he's a big dude.
I haven't seen him in so long. He comes out to that Van Halen song that's just one long crazy solo.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Eruption?
Eruption. I was like, is it Inferno? It's Eruption. Yeah, it's Eruption. the funniest song you could come out to. And then I remembered, oh, I came out to that song as a backyarder before we had a ring in like 2000 when I was like 11 years old. I came out to that song for at least two or three times. So that was a fun memory to have. So he's swinging his bat and cackling like a villain. Like a villain from Death Wish 3, 4, or 5.
Yeah.
Not like the giggler. He's not giggling.
No.
He's not. He's cackling like a different villain.
He's bald, so he can't, you know, he doesn't have any dandruff.
Dandruff problem? Oh my god. Thank you. Happy first day.
Thank you.
The IWA ring of the time. Where the bottom rope would always sag, although it looks like it's tightened tonight for the anniversary show.
Yeah. Ian was fucking making sure he was on top. Yeah. Yeah, Ian was on top of that shit.
But the thing with this ring, where they don't have turnbuckle pads, they just put a bunch of tape over the corners so it, like, sort of resembles a buckle. Like a turnbuckle pad. And it's just like, that would put a whole roll of tape on there. Mm-hmm. That's just the most ridiculous thing. This is the ring, and of course CM Punk follows this match with him and Jerry Lynn followed this match. But this is the ring where CM Punk, like, learned to become the greatest wrestler of his generation or whatever he is, you know?
Yeah.
This is where he got it. This is where it all happened for him. I mean, obviously he honed it in Ring of Honor and then in WWE, but like, this is it. This was his home. This shitty ring. It's so weird. It's just so weird. That nobody just fucking made some pads. I'm not exaggerating either. I want to be clear. You're not like they had this ring like this forever.
No, it was just this piece of shit ring. And Ian was really cheap.
Yeah. Well, occasionally yeah, he was really cheap. Well, is it really cheap if you never have any money?
He never had any money, but he also wasn't so good at he wasn't great at finding investors and shit.
No, he never had a pitch that he could sell that well. They God, this whole building just really takes me back. I love all these regular guys. There's the 7 foot tall lady. I don't see her here. Yeah. Then there's Crazy Pipe Guy, who I also don't see here, but I do see multiple people smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
dude in the RVD shirt, right?
Yeah, RVD shirt smoking. But it just, you know, again, takes me back. Watching my mom smoke a cigarette in the ECW arena, you know? Like, just, and she did it because, like, she was like, oh, they're all smoking. I'm going to smoke. And I was like, I mean, you know, I couldn't blame her because she was right. Half the people in the crowd would like light up a cigarette every 20 minutes and fucking smoke a cigarette in the fucking arena. It's cool. It used to be better. That's what they say, right?
Yeah.
It used to be better.
Different times.
Yeah. God. Okay. So Tracy Smothers has the shirt that says, "Nobody does it like a thug. Sell out Smothers." And then I couldn't make out the smaller text below it. And then on the back,
it's got a hole in it.
It's got multiple holes in it.
The shirt is 8 years old.
Like both armpits have holes in it. Like, so it's been worn. It's not just like this isn't just like a shirt that he wore in wrestling matches. It's worn in the places that a shirt would be worn if you wore it just doing stuff.
He wore this shirt delivering pizza.
Yeah, he's doing his, you know, his third and fourth job wearing the shirt. They're saying, you know, terrible, hell, ugly, jail, a thug can't spell. But then below that, it says, one thing we can spell is heaven. So is this like a thug's shirt with like a Christian message on it?
It's very confusing, frankly.
I mean, I know, like, you know, God was always a part of Smoky Mountain wrestling, right? And Southern wrestling in general. Like, it's always, you know, you pray before these shows sometimes. I've been to an indie show in Texas where they prayed.
Yeah.
They pray for the safety of the of the fighters, you know?
Yeah.
This is where Masada wrestled. I'm telling you, the first time I saw Masada in 2001 in Beaumont, Texas, at the Boys and Girls Club, or the Boys Club of America, in their shitty little gym, they said a prayer for all the wrestlers before that. So besides the shirt, he's also got shitty white knee pads over gray sweatpants. Now, we've talked about knee pads over the jeans.
Yeah.
You know, at length. We talk about it any chance we get, right? There's something. This is next level shit. Because these are like, these knee pads, they also keep falling down his knees, so they probably don't even belong to him. You know what Tarzan Goto wears in the April 1990 Texas Deathmatch tag with Onita and Kurisu? With the knee pads over the sweatpants?
Yeah.
They're yellow, and he's got gray sweatpants on under it. So I was just immediately evocative of the greatest matches of all time. Fucking knee pads over sweatpants. We have on our hands the platonic ideal of come-as-you-are street fight attire. I can't believe he's gone.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks a lot.
He feels like somebody who shouldn't be dead. You know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can talk about the match.
Yeah, we gotta talk about the fucking match.
Or do you want to spend some more time in the pre-match? Because there's a lot more. I've maybe got more before the bell. I've got more notes than I've ever had before the bell on a match. How could you make out the? I mean, Bull's pretty clear when he gets the mic. You can hear him pretty well.
Yeah, he's being problematic.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say a few things. I was going to repeat a few things because I find it very choice that he says the crowd is full of a bunch of goddamn retards. And then Jim Fannin says that he's going to have to put two in the swear jar for saying GD. Fannin, no issue with the fucking R word.
No, well, it's 2002.
It's just so funny. It's so funny that they call it out. Like, can't, you know, the Lord's name.
I mean, Fannin has said the N-word on commentary. Stop rolling hard matches and shit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Bull then says, all the bitches, something, something, vinegar and water. And then he says, because he smells some nasty pussy in
here. Pussy.
And then, you know, there's kids like 5 feet away from him when he says that. Little kids. He says someone has a 2-inch dick. He's talking about someone pulling on their little 2-inch dick. Did you hear this?
Yeah.
Some fat guy pulls his shirt up and slaps his belly at Bull after he calls him fat. And then Dave on commentary, Dave Prazak and Jim Fannin on commentary. Dave Prazak says that Jim Fannin does in fact have a 2-inch penis. And then like what? Dave is very funny in commentary. I love Dave Prazak in commentary. Always have, always will. But this is prime Dave Prazak, because Bull is just like, and he pauses for a second.
Well, I think Fannin is also the best, his best partner.
Oh, absolutely. This is the best. Yeah. This is a great duo. He, Bull will pause for a second and Dave will just interject, motherfucker. Like, anytime there's a pause in the promo. And he's cackling, and Fannin says at some point here that Bull Payne has broken Corporal Roberts' record of most cuss words in a single promo. Bull says, get out of the way if we come out here because it's going to be like a tornado going through Texas. And then Prazak says, Texas, mockingly. They're having fun. They're drunk. They're 4 hours into a 6-hour show, you know? And then Bullpen tells Tracy to just leave and go get his paycheck, which Prazak and Fannin are like, he can't do that, right? He's got to wrestle to get paid. And well, then Fannin's like confused that anyone's getting paid because he's like, I've never been paid. And then Tracy gets on the microphone and says, what is he? He says, he like looks in the camera. What is he? It's this crazy. Oh, I wrote it down somewhere. Oh, God, I don't have it anymore. He says something about fear. Do you have this?
Oh, fear is false evidence appearing real.
Fear is... I'm so glad that you got it. he says to the cameraman, get this on video. And then he says, and please say it again.
False evidence appearing real.
No, he's got hair. Video.
Fear is false evidence appearing real.
Amen.
Fear is false evidence appearing real.
Gary Busey would go on to say that on I'm with Busey.
One guy in the crowd yells, amen. And then you, you hear Fannin and Prazak just like trying not to laugh, just going like on into their microphones. So good. It's so good. He says, I'm going to keep this short and sweet, motherfucker. God bless Ted Petty and the IWA. Calls Mitch Ryder a jackoff. Or no, he calls Todd Morton a jackoff. He tells Bull he's going to stick the bat up Bull's ass and turn him into a popsicle.
Yeah.
And then Tracy ends the promo by throwing the microphone out of the ring and breaking it. As Mike Burns, Smart Mark Video cameraman Mike Burns, reaches for, tries to catch it, and fails. And then,
it might have been Smart Mark Gary, but I'm not sure.
No, I think Jim Fannin is yelling. I'm pretty sure he said, Mike, you're off the...
Okay.
He says you're not allowed on the softball team, Mike. So, all that said, they do start the match eventually. But Bull, again, he always acts like so sheepish. You know, he's like Tully Blanchard.
He said, yeah, he's such a chicken shit.
It's so funny. It's a classic wrestling type, right? Big, scary bully who suddenly is just like reduced to a puppy dog.
Yeah.
But it seems unbelievable. It seems like it wouldn't work. And it does. Bullpen is so good. He's like he's probably one of the best wrestlers that we've never covered.
Oh yeah. No, he's great.
I've
been thinking about this match for 5 years.
So
to cover, and I'm like, fuck it, let's just talk about it now.
You've been thinking about it for 5 years. When was the first time you saw it? Do you know?
I don't fucking remember. Probably before then.
Like,
but I'd forgotten about it and been like, oh, this looks fucking cool. We should talk about it. And then I'm like, I'm not sure if this fits. And then we decided, let's fucking talk about it.
Oh, sure. Well, I think it's always a good time to talk about bullpen. We just never found the reason. Dave mentions the main event is a three-way dance, House of Pain, light bulb tube matchup. A light bulb tube matchup. And then he also says they still have Jerry Lynn and CM Punk to come. We start with a lockup. Tracy wins the lockup and then wiggles his hips at Bullpain. And Bull looks so mad and yells, fuck you. And then the crowd chants, Bull's got crabs. But at first, I thought they said Bull's got cramps, which is funny to me. Like they lock up and he immediately gets a cramp. referee Steve Turtle or whatever is nice enough to break it up because of his cramps. Tracy gets the crowd to chant bald-headed geek at Bull.
Yeah.
Oh, and
fun.
And then this is when he says, hey, get this on video. Yeah, fear is false evidence appearing real.
Tracy's also yelling at a fan. They're both yelling at fans.
They get in a collar and elbow, and they yell motherfucker at each other in the tie-up. You see two kids literally skipping laps around the entire building. There's two little kids just doing... They're skipping in the background as this match is starting. And so they begin punching each other, right? They're punching. It's great. Oh, I love it. Punch, punch. Tracy does some of his karate. It's great. He does his little backhand shots. Bull rakes his eyes along the top rope in the headlock. One of the best moves, you know. You see it now. You see, like, a cruiserweight doing it. It's kind of silly or whatever, you know. I don't know why I said cruiserweight. You see, like, Dante Martin do it. I don't know. So... Does some karate, sends Bull to the floor. Tracy hits this running double axe off the apron. A real hard shot. Jim says that some kid lost his nachos in the first fight outside of the ring. So I'm hoping that maybe Patty will give him another order for free, but I'm not sure they do that. I don't know. So it's probably say, sorry, kid. Get your dad to give you $2 more. We'll get you some more nachos. I don't know what my Patty Rotten sounds like my Ian Rotten. Sorry, kid. $2.
Yeah, sorry, kid. $2. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Fannin says on commentary, the bull scares the hell out of him, and that he's taken... This is what he says. He says he's taken several suplexes on the floor from him, multiple shots from his bat, and frog splashes from the top rope many times, is what he says.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, Jim. How many times has this guy attacked you? He's listing him off like Lloyd Bridges saying all the things you know, picked the wrong week to stop doing during fucking Airplane, you know?
Yeah.
God. I don't know. Go, you talk for a sec. I gotta fix my...
So, they're just throwing each other for sets of fucking chairs and it's so nasty. They're hitting each other. I mean, Tracy's taking chair shots straight to the head, completely unprotected, of course, because it's 2002. Also, Tracy Smothers doesn't give a shit. Bullpen doesn't give a shit. Bullpen has such funny offense. He hits him with the spin kick and, like, sends Tracy back, like, 5 feet. That's so fucking good.
Yeah, the brawling through the chairs is always good in this building because they just – they spread out, you know. The people, it was never so populated that it was hard to get through, but they sure do try to make sure every single person who sits down has to get up at some point in this match.
Yeah.
Like they clear through every possible part of the arena, like where a person could be sitting. Like they make a point of it. You're gonna have to get up at some point. You're gonna have to move. Let's see. It's got this, it goes for a back suplex onto a chair, Bull does, but Tracy spins over into a crossbody, flattens the chair under Bull's massive frame. The cross the throat shot with his bat that Tracy gives him.
Yeah.
It's a hard weapon to use, you know, the bat. Mm-hmm. and if you gimmick it, it looks fake, like immediately. There's a part here where Tracy grabs Bull by, like, the crotch of his pants. Did you see this?
Yeah.
He, like, yanks him out by it. And it's like, it's not
He's, like, making an adjustment, basically.
Is that... He's making an adjustment. It's pretty sick. Some near touching in this. Prazak and Jim Fannin argue about how many rows of chairs there are. Like, this is WrestleMania 3 or something.
Yeah.
Tracy comes back, rushes Bull on the floor, takes out a ton of chairs and people, and there's kids of all ages running. There's this one guy defiantly staying seated until he almost catches a chair to the head after Bull does that sort of back kick. and then he has like a piece of trim or crown molding. It's like a thin piece of wood. It's not too thick, but it's not too thin either. But it doesn't look very pleasant because he just breaks it over Tracy's head, and it looks just... awful. And then Bull's punches also make this smack that doesn't make any sense. He's clearly not thigh slapping. Like, how is he making that noise? It's like a... I mean, I know how he's making it. It's his fist on Tracy's face.
Yeah, that's his face.
But, like, it's a couple of his punches sound exactly like that, and it's really... they're really impressive. Looks like they hurt, too, probably. When he sits Tracy in a chair on the floor, and he does this big flying clothesline off the apron. Bull flying is always crazy. The frog splash he does later on. Like, I always forget, you know? I always forget how big he is, first of all, but then seeing him fly is crazy. Let's see here. Actually, you know what?
He, like, switches arms with the clothesline, too. He swings into the clothesline. It's very funny.
Yeah, it's almost, it's like over-ambitious. He kind of overshoots it a little bit. And Tracy's actually up before him, I think. They end up making like a full lap around the ring to another section of the crowd. And you see Bull fiddling with his tape. He takes a couple chair shots and a bunch of punches, and he's bleeding off of that. And this incredible series of punches and elbows in the crowd. And then Bull comes back with a beer can to the head as Jim Fannin says, how the hell did a can of beer get in the building? Which really, you know, again, reminds you of going to IWA. And reminded me of IWA King of the Deathmatch. It's the only time I ever got to an IWA show, 2021. And that was very much a sneaking beer cans into the building kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Falls count anywhere. Bull gets a near fall on the floor. They head outside. The water tower.
The water tower. It's Clarksville at night. It's hilarious looking.
It's beautiful. It's great. Sailor's delight. I love a water tower. I don't know why.
A water tower is cool as hell.
It just, it makes me feel like a kid for just to look at one. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of Animaniacs, you know, like,
yeah,
it's because of Warner Brothers, but it really does. I saw it and I was like, oh, I'm at home. Like, really comforting to see that water tower back there. Jim Fannin says, hey, wait, my car's out there. And Dave like teases him about where he's parked. They don't do a lot out there, but he does.
They're going around. Someone gets hit with a street sign.
Yeah.
Somehow and finds there's a street sign that goes in and out of the building.
You don't think it was two different signs? So I didn't think about it being the same sign.
Signs, though. Yeah, it's possible. Think,
well, maybe this sign, maybe it was nailed down at the beginning of the match and they had to pull it off the thing.
There's lots of the green chairs too, but this is before the green chairs of the Mystique.
Sure. The green chair. Yeah, yeah. They,
as you remember the green chair thing in IWA Mid-South, where if you don't know, the green chairs are supposed to be very, like, the ones that are somehow much heavier than the silver chairs.
Yeah, yeah, they would point it out. That's one of those heavy chairs. That's, like, the classic IWA thing from this era. I guess you don't have to do a whole lot outside, right? You just kind of just go out there and brawl on the outside, and everybody runs out and sees it, and that's cool. It's fun for people.
Yeah.
But there's a back body drop out there. I think Bull gets back body dropped. And they make their way back in. Jim and Dave on commentary at this point, they haven't been able to see the match. So they're just like talking about what toilet paper they use and what snacks they brought with them.
Lifetime supply of Reese's Pieces. Not that deal.
Bull and Tracy make their way back in. Bullpain's holding the chair now. He gets Tracy down. Holds the chair, gets on the middle rope, walks along the middle rope. He's fucking Grand Naniwa. Which is so funny. You said it's a him doing Michinoku Pro stuff, and I was like, what? What does he do?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh yeah, he does do that.
He does the cactus elbow drop with the chair.
That's exactly what I wrote. I said, to the center like he's Grand Naniwa, but without doing the fingers, and then he drops a cactus elbow with the chair. It's so good. It's such a good spot. Jim Fannin on commentary says it's 11:30 at night and they still have two big matches left. I checked the file and there's like an hour and 20 minutes left. So this is going to go on past one, this show. Easily. And they would do that a lot for their big shows. Very funny. I don't think Ian understood what it took out of his audience to make them do that all the time. So, Tracy with the... Bullpain with the frog splash. This is where he does the frog splash. I gotta be honest, I had forgotten about his frog splash until I saw it. And I was like, oh yeah, this is like a thing he does in a lot of matches.
You don't do frog splashes. There's that tope he hits. Do you remember the match he has on Thunder Saturday night with fucking Mike Enos, where he does the tope that Mike Enos doesn't really catch? It looks like shit.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. Bullpain,
this like 280-pound... fucking man, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that sounds great.
He's a mover for a dude of his like size and general shape and visual presentation.
He moves
like a motherfucker.
You got to get that one, Enos versus Bullpain. That's got to be for the C Show diet.
Oh yeah, dude.
Right, put that in the document because I don't think I know that match. That's cool. Sounds awesome. All right, Tracy comes back. Back fist, the little double throat thrust. He'll do him palm down, and then he'll do him palm up.
Yeah.
That's so cool. He's so cool. I know some of Tracy's strikes are silly, and he's like kind of a silly... But it's like... I don't know. It's cool.
He'll hit a motherfucker snug with one.
Yeah. Oh, he hits hard with them too. They're goofy. The technique is goofy, but he's hitting, and they look good. You know, throats and chops of different kinds. They have some sort of miscommunication. Someone doesn't duck something or something else. But then they recover. Tracy hits a leg lariat out of nowhere for two, then goes to the top rope and hits the jawjacker.
Yeah, fucking spinning back elbow.
Yeah, yeah, off the top, which is great. Gets a big pop. And then he doesn't go for the pin from that because he picks up the broken chair from earlier. He does a little strut with it. A little fucking... Don't know what that was. It looked like Travolta in Pulp Fiction. Like just like lazy, just like tired, a little dance before dropping a splash on him with the chair. And that gets two. I thought that might have been it, actually. That was that one got me. I thought that might be the end. And then Tracy, he does like the Southern Boys offense, right? That fake out.
Oh yeah.
Backwards over the ropes and then the drop kick through the ropes to the floor. That's cool. And then yeah, they finish, you know, the finish of this, I don't know if I'm not gonna say it doesn't live up to the rest of the match. It was a little sooner than I thought it was gonna be. You know? Yeah. Okay.
That's fair.
There's a few more big chair shots. Tracy ends up getting a chair shot to the head while he's on the apron. He looks like he's about to just fall backwards off the apron, but Bull grabs him, drops the chair below him, yanks him over the top rope, sets up the pain game, which is what? A spinning neck breaker off how would you describe it?
A draping spinning neck breaker, like a vintage Randy Orton, but from the top rope. It's like a curtain call, but vintage Randy Orton style.
I think draping was the word that I couldn't come to.
Yeah.
Yeah, drape. He draped. Okay, it's draped over the top. That's it. Lands it perfectly in the chair, too. It's good. It's a worthy finish. But then Bull, like, gets out of there really quick, like, goes near where he can exit, puts his back against the wall, and then turns with his bat, and he's like, "Yeah, I got you, motherfuckers." Like, he only does it when he's absolutely confident that nobody's behind him. You know?
Mm-hmm.
He's like a classic tough guy who's actually a pussy. He's so good. Oh. And then Tracy cuts a promo and says he's never going to fully turn babyface. He says he just turned 40. And he shouts out the old timers that are still going, Terry and Dory and whoever else he named. Bob Armstrong, I think he named. Who is, you know, would still be wrestling today, I think, if he could. No, Bob Armstrong's still alive, isn't he?
Oh, man, I am not 100% sure about that. I think he might be dead.
Yeah, he'd be really old. Yeah, he died in 2020.
Yeah, that sounds
He died
about
a
right.
month before Tracy did. Crazy.
Dang.
Which is, again, I just can't believe he's gone. He says he's got a few more left in him, a few more years left in him or whatever.
And, I mean, this is 2002, so yes, he did.
He absolutely did. He absolutely did. And he trained some good wrestlers, and he's, you know, influential guy. And, you know, I saw him, the last time I saw him live was at Nick Gage Invitational 2019, which is like a year before he died, right?
Yeah.
And he cut like a problematic, you know, right-wing Confederate flag promo. And I think he wrestled Marco Stunt.
He wrestled Marco Stunt, yeah.
And I caught some of the promo and spent most of that match smoking weed with John and Chris Gibbons.
Yeah.
So, and Ty, I think. Just out there smoking marijuana. So I didn't really see Tracy Smothers the last time I got a chance to see him, which is weird, but you know, that's all right.
Yeah,
that's all right. We'll talk about him again one day. He's the man.
Absolutely.
Now, do you need a minute? Or are you good?
I'm good. I'm good. Let's go with main event time.
All right. Let's roll right along. Roll right main along.
Event. Main event time together.
Yeah.
Three,
main event.
Two, one.
Oh, main event.
Christ. 3, 2, 1. Main event time.
There you go.
All right.
See, that's a good way to test if there was a lag.
From best of the best two in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It's June 18th. It's June 10th.
I've got June 8th.
June 8th. I don't know anymore. I'm losing June my mind. 8th. June 8th, 2002. The Wunderkind, Johnny Storm versus the Phoenix, Jody Fleisch. Second round action.
So I'll always remember the date of this one. It's 6-8-02 because I had this tape. It was the first CCW tape I ever had. Talked about it a bunch. But it's the first one I ever had. It's best of the best two, right?
Yeah.
And then it's also, you know, 6-8-01 was Tenryu versus Muto.
Muto, yeah.
So for whatever reason, these are the dates that, like, I have burned in my mind because they were on the fucking label on a VHS that sat on my shelf, you know?
Yeah.
So there's matches that I remember. This is, yeah, one of the most important matches of my life, too, I'd say. It's a valid choice. So what to say about it? Johnny Storm, so funny looking in his silver Oakleys.
It's fucking his heel persona is that he has this one pair of sunglasses that makes him look like such a fucking dickhead. It's awesome.
Hey, sometimes all you need is the one pair of sunglasses, you know?
It's about keeping track of your gimmicks, not about just accumulating gimmicks.
Absolutely. Well said. We've got House and Eric on the call. And Johnny does some other light healing. Johnny does. He calls the crowd fat before grabbing the mic.
He yells out at someone at the beginning of the match, mm-hmm. "Faggot!" in a very high pitched voice, which is really funny.
"You're a faggot." Oh God, it's the cutest little accent. It's just so funny.
Faggot. He's so high pitched.
I'm gonna put the audio in. Let's see.
Hell yeah.
2 hours, 12 minutes in. So make sure that I put. So it's not just me and you saying it. We got Johnny Storm on there.
No. We have a digital record.
Yeah. Oh man. He tells the crowd that they're the biggest pieces of shit he's ever wrestled in front of, and to shut the fuck up. So he's immediately trying to get heel heat. Even though they don't. I mean, he does wrestle this match kind of like a heel. This is very much an indie work rate thing that they're doing, but it's very well done, for what it is. It's one of the best for what it is. Jody Fleisch, the Phoenix, 21 years old. You know, guys don't look like this anymore. Do you remember this kind of hot?
They don't really look like this guy. No.
That's the hot, like, spiky-haired British black guy that you'd see in the early
2000s.
Yeah. You know? Like, I feel like this is like a type of guy that we don't see anymore. Or is, you know, he's got a different vibe now. Jody comes out, and someone's got the mask that Jody wore in Michinoku Pro. You see this?
Yeah.
Did you knew that? That registered?
I thought that was Dako-chan.
Dako-chan, yeah.
Yeah, problematic.
I was going to ask you about Dako-chan. And I guess my question you already answered with one simple word, which is problematic.
Yeah, dude, Google it.
I mean, Google what?
Google Dako-chan.
Dako-chan. Oh, I see. So
it
this
ain't
is
good.
This is a well-known Japanese thing.
Yeah, it's like the fucking.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
It's their gollywog or I forget what we call them in this stupid country.
Maybe you call.
Oh
them
yeah, no,
but I don't
that's
call
just,
them that.
Well, that's just a well, see, I could say that. We don't. I mean, I don't think about those dolls at all. I don't go around being racist. I don't go around doing. I was just saying to my roommate a couple days ago.
I had to Google it.
Why men rape? What seems fun about that? You know,
it's an excellent point. You
I don't understand why people go around being racist. It doesn't seem fun to me.
It doesn't seem. I mean, so some it comes naturally. I think I didn't know about. I didn't know. So oh god, I didn't know about that. I thought it was just his mask. So anyways, he takes the mask off of this teenage boy who's wearing it, and he puts it on, and he seems happy about it, and he throws it back to him.
Positive memories.
Maybe. I didn't realize there was this whole other thing about Doc O'Chan. I guess you said Doco Chan, and I was like, wait a second. Doco. Okay, well, hey, you know what? You learn something new every time you record a podcast, and that is absolutely true for this podcast. Would you agree with that? You wouldn't.
Maybe yeah, learn something. I think we learned many things. I think everybody learned something.
Yeah, yeah. God. This is, you're a, so funny, Johnny Storm. I mean, that's just the greatest way to get fucking heat. You know what he sounds like? I recently rewatched Weekend at Bernie's, which is, that's not a non sequitur. I've got a reason. So there's this little kid in Weekend at Bernie's who's like terrorizing Jonathan Silver and Andrew McCarthy. Do you know, have you seen this movie?
What's the movie?
She didn't hear a fucking word of any.
I did. I heard Peter McCarthy.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. I've seen Weekend at Bernie's. Own Weekend at Bernie's, I believe.
Okay, okay.
From a DVD that I got from Pizza Hut.
Hell yeah. That's great. That's excellent. I torrented it in the middle of the night on New Year's Eve when I couldn't find it streaming. And then I watched it on New Year's Day. It was the first thing I did all year this year. I started 2024 right by watching Weekend at Bernie's on my phone.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's this little kid who terrorizes Jonathan Silver and Andrew McCarthy in it and, like, plays with the body. And he's got a British accent in a few scenes. Not all the scenes, but a few of the scenes. Because I think it was probably a British kid who was like, all right, well, do your American accent, okay, Nigel or whatever. But in a few scenes, he says, piss off. And it sounds like Johnny Storm saying, you're a faggot. So that's what I thought about. They start the match with some awesome fucking quick-ass, sick-ass high-speed sequences of reversals and pins, and they totally land all of it. Eric's saying, John, he does the 720 DDT. I know you've seen 450s and 360s. Have you ever seen 720s, John?
My favorite Gargiulo moment, we'll get to it, but it's so fucking funny the way he says something about... he's just—I don't know.
Gargiulo, I'm trying to think of what it is, and now I'm laughing at two different other things.
It's the spot. It's a spot that you had to rewind.
Okay. 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 Great. yeah. All right. So Jody does like a snapmare out of a hammerlock. Johnny hangs on to the hammerlock and sort of snapmares him back in one fluid motion. So cool. They do some crazy springboarding in and out of these like arm ringers. Johnny's always throwing it back down into the headlock, trash talking. They flow into, you know, from the ringer and the hammerlock into like a Greco-Roman knuckle lock, you know?
Yeah.
They do this fucking, this incredible moment where Jody leaps up and just stands on top of Johnny's shoulders, like effortlessly. He's got a great spinning heel kick, Jody Flash does. He has this awesome springboard from outside, springboarding in. Otani style drop kick to the back of the head, which is, it hits him as hard as Otani did, right?
Oh yeah,
like he just obliterates him, fucking sends him flying through the ropes.
It's
the floor.
A great shot.
It is a great shot. The framing of it from hard cam, it's like a, it's like coming fucking right at you. So Eric says, as Jody approaches the ropes, and Johnny's on the floor, Eric says he looks like he's gonna go for a pescado. Which he absolutely doesn't do.
No, doesn't do that at all.
I love it. Just go ahead and set the expectations low. That's Gargiulo is a good commentator because he's like he's got him in a headlock there, and then oh, suddenly he did a fucking reverse Rana. Like he all right, so he's gonna go for a pescado, right? And he absolutely doesn't. It's a springboard shooting star. Little undershot.
It's a little undershot. Yeah.
Did you say he slammed his knees on the apron?
Yeah, I think you have to say that.
Grazed the ropes, like on rotation. He lands enough on Johnny. Johnny does a great job here. You saw him walk like two full steps forward, right?
No, he goes into it like, you know, like a pro, like try to cover for the best he can.
He covers so, for the
to make sure his you know, his fucking feud partner doesn't, you know, fuck his ass up.
Yeah, he covers Jody from getting hurt and the match from looking like shit. Like fucking fully, you know, he's doing good work here. Yeah, Jody could have fucked himself up badly on that. Back in, Johnny manages to stop Jody on the top, hits this triple jump springboard Rana, which is crazy. Eric says, they're stealing the show, John. God, I was watching 06 CZW, and it had Gargiulo and Nick Gage in commentary.
Yeah.
And Gargiulo sounded way more like Dundalk Philly than ever. Like, it, like, developed.
Yeah, I guess just being around, because he's, like, a New York guy originally.
Oh, is he? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, man, I had no idea. But him and
House
Gage...
House is a Philly guy, so...
Okay. Well, him and Gage on commentary together, they just sound like, it's so funny. It's so funny. Johnny hits one of the greatest sky highs I've ever seen. One of my favorite moves, also.
It's a classic, especially of the era.
It's a great backyard move, because you can do it on basically anyone. As long as you hop, as long as they hop with you, and you, like, you can all land together. Like, it's great. It's so good. It's a soft bump to take, too, because they're landing with you, you know? It's a clean move. Slaps Jody so hard after this, there's, like, this disgusting, just violent string of drool hanging from his mouth. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Ugh. That's a guy who's dehydrated right there. And then hits the sick Michinoku driver, which, of course, Eric calls it the storm driver.
It looks great, but yeah, storm driver.
Let's see. Oh, he launches Jody up for a flapjack, but turns and just kicks him backwards on the nuts.
That was some Casas shit. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that's what that is. It's like Negro Casas. That is like that is a Lucha Libre move. And, you know, Eric's like, I don't know if that's legal, but like, what's fucking CZW?
CZW, yeah. What?
We're making up the rules.
I'm fucking crippled dead, you know?
He's really, you know, we're making it up. I'm just all making it up as we go along. So, let's see here. He hits the spinning heel off the top rope, a la Yoshitatsu. Yeah. And Jody backflips on the bump. It's like psychotic.
He does
it looks incredible.
Insane bump, yeah. Fucking he turns himself inside out for it.
Which, just the timing on that, it's crazy. To the floor, Jody goes. Johnny hits his... This is so... Again, this match, we're describing a lot of spots, but these are all incredible looking.
These are central spots.
Every one of them feels like it could be in a fucking highlight video. And you could say it about a lot of matches now or whatever. You could say it about a lot of matches then. But there's something to what the things they're doing all look a little bit fucked up and weird in ways that you've never seen before. Like, there's just another level to the execution. This Johnny Storm where run up the turnbuckle, direction change, flipping plancha to the floor, where he looks like he could fall at any moment. He looks almost not very sure-footed up there, but he lands it perfectly, lands on his feet, walks along in stride as fucking normally as he would cross the road, you know? And then we get, all right, so he grabs a chair, smashes Jody with it. And then this is where he whips Jody Fleisch towards the rail. And in the crowd, I was thinking it was just a guy holding up a chair. But that didn't make sense. Why would a guy hold up a chair? Why would a guy in the third row be holding up a chair? Right?
Yeah. So just be holding up a chair, at least.
So I looked again. I slowed down the footage. Went full as a pruder with this. And he's being handed a chair by someone behind him. So they're getting a chair from a row that's further back to move it up, like, next to him or whatever. So this guy's holding a chair that's been handed to him, basically at eye level. And Jody gets whipped in, and instead of hitting the rail, he vaults over the rail, over this guy in the front row who's like got a red baseball cap and a red shirt, like who he grazes him with his leg, right? That guy's like, what the fuck?
And this is my favorite moment. When this happens, after this happens, my favorite moment of Gargiulo commentary for the match. In my 2.5 years of commentary, I've never seen anything like that. I don't know what to call that. Like,
he's flabbergasted.
That's so funny. Like my two and a half years.
2.5 years. I mean, you know what? That's quite a 2.5 years of wrestling to watch and call. The things this guy has seen in 2.5 years. It's very funny, though. those are Zandig years. It's like dog years, you know? Zandig years?
Yeah. Dig years.
So, yeah, he flies into this chair.
A Dig's age.
A Dig's age. That's it. He flies over this fan into this chair that this fan is holding up. And it knocks the fan to the ground, obviously. My 2.5 years, John. So funny. So in the crowd, beer can to the head of Jody. Here they do sell beer, I think. He whips Jody into the wall. Johnny whips Jody into the wall. Sorry, Jody. Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. He whips Jody to the wall. Jody walks up the wall.
Does the fucking wall run?
The wall unit, Eric calls it. The wall unit.
The wall unit.
This move can't have a name.
No, it can't have a name. That's so weird.
Has Eric seen this move before? Did Jody Fleisch tell Eric, I'm going to hit the wall unit. Make sure you call it the wall unit when I hit.
Yeah.
And Eric's like, all right, I'll know it when I see it, right? And he'll be like, yeah, you know it when you see it, mate. He's like, the wall unit! What the fuck? He says, is that Peter Parker under that mask? And then John Howell says, he ran up that wall, Eric.
John Howell's fucking rocks. He's so stupid.
I didn't have a lot of quotes from him on this one. It's a lot of bam and someone called 911. You know, it's the usuals. But like...
The steal in the show, Eric.
The steal in the show. He ran up that wall. all right. So Johnny comes back, replies with an atomic crotch drop on the rail. Then Johnny does an Eddie Guerrero vaulting senton over the rail onto Jody back at ringside. Like he's healing. You know, he's doing healing moves. Johnny climbs, gets tripped. Jody climbs up behind him onto the buckle. And Johnny manages to hit him with the storm bomb, which I said like Eric Gargiulo without meaning to. But that's how I knew what that was, because he called it the storm bomb. Which, what do you do? What is this? How do you describe this? It's like a Michinoku driver.
I thought this was kind of like an iconoclasm.
Okay, the iconoclasm, which is like Trin Acid?
The Shima, John.
Shima does that move. Oh, it's a Shima. It is like that. Okay, so it is like that. The bump is great. It's got sort of a lawn dart sort of element to the way he throws him. But that might just be because of the way Jody fucking, you know, pikes his back when he does the bump. Swantons into the bump. It's great. Nuts looking move. Jody then hits the fucking, he does like a space flying tiger gimmick and fucking Rana for a close near fall. Johnny hits a DDT out of a wheelbarrow where it doesn't even make sense how his body turned to get in that position. None of it makes any fucking sense. And Johnny gets a springboard off, goes for another drop kick, or Jody goes for another flying drop kick, but this is where Johnny catches him with, and this is the clip. I think this is the most incredible one because the people stand up and pop so big for this. Liger bomb, snatch him out of midair off the springboard, and the... When he kicks out at 2.9, Johnny gets in referee John Logan's face, and the crowd's like losing it. The crowd thought it was over, and they chant CZW. And it's like, you know, these guys should have been fully made. They should have Roy, the cat. God damn it! Sorry, these guys should have been made forever off of just this one kick out. After the spot, like, it's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And then they move pretty quickly to the finish, huh?
Yeah.
Rewind Rana.
Rewind, which nobody does. Which is, it's a crazy move.
It is a crazy move.
It doesn't. It's not forced, really, either. Too. I don't think of him forcing that move ever.
Well, and I think you could do variations on it, and I'm sure he has. Which basically what it is you run your opponent standing like two or three steps away from the corner, their back to the buckle. You run towards them, and they throw you overhead, kind of like Aja does to Kaoru in the first match. They throw you overhead, sort of blocking a Hurricane Rana attempt. And then you land on the second rope, jump backwards without looking, and complete the Rana. Like, it's fully, like, Rey Mysterio in 96 kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's a great move. And then they pretty quickly move into the finish here, which is the 720 DDT. So I was thinking they didn't necessarily move from moment to moment as cleanly as maybe...
As they could have. But they... the match is still essential.
It's so good. It's so good. The 720 DDT, which Jody hits perfectly, is incredible. This is the best he ever hit the move, probably.
Oh yeah.
And it's so crazy. B-Boy and Super Dragon, I think right after this or right before this, right?
Yeah.
Had a totally different kind of like iconic super indie transplant match from a different part of the world, you know?
Yeah.
That show, you know, Ruckus versus Jody in the semi is good. And then Trent Acid versus Jody Fleisch in the final is really good, too, if I remember right. I am remembering that right, I think.
Yeah.
When was the last time you watched the full Best of the Best 2?
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah. I watched it. Yeah, I feel in those lighters. I watched it for REMP, for the Rotten Area Memory podcast. But I don't know if those are even still online. And I have no idea what I would have said about it then. Oh, yeah. So, happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday to you as well.
Thank you very much. Do you feel like you picked correctly? Did you choose wisely?
I think I did. I think this is a fun selection of matches, yeah.
I think it is too, and I think it's such a absolute opposite of what I did. And I think they're going to complement each other nicely. I think people will like these episodes. Anything you want to do or say or before we finish?
Death to America.
Death to America. Absolutely.
I think it a lot.
I think it all the time. Follow us on Twitter, XApp, at Touching Blood, TikTok for as long as you can before they take it away from us, at Touching Blood. Instagram is Wrestling is Gross. If TikTok goes away, I'll be using Instagram a lot more probably. You know, wrestlingisgross@gmail.com. Send us something weird. Send us something nice. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I was looking. We haven't gotten a review in almost a year. That's fucked up. Now, granted, we didn't do any podcasts for almost a year. That's not true, but something like that. But yeah, get on there.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Thanks for listening. Death to America.
Death to America.
And we'll see you next time.
See you next time, buddy.
Oh, also Blue Sky.